Welcome to sermon audio from Grace Hill Church in Pittsboro, North Carolina. I'm Lee Callicutt, pastor for preaching and teaching at Grace Hill. Grace Hill Church exists to glorify God by being a community on mission transformed by the gospel. For more information about Grace Hill, visit us at gracehillchatham.com.
For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Today we stop and we remember a death, not just any death, the death of the Son of God. And even though at first it might seem peculiar, we call this death, we call this day good. And why do we call it good? Because everything, our salvation, our hope, our eternities depend upon what this death has accomplished. And so this evening, we're going to spend our time tonight with just these words that I've just read. Christ died for the ungodly. That is where we're going to spend our evening. Christ died for the ungodly. And we will do so by answering three questions. Who, what, and for whom? So Christ died for the ungodly, and we are going to answer who, what, and for whom. And so first question is who? What do I mean by that? Well, the who of this verse in verse 6 of chapter 5 is actually Christ. The subject of the sentence is Jesus. He is Christ. And if you don't understand, this is why it's so important for us to answer the who died on the cross. It is Christ. And if you don't understand who died on the cross, Good Friday just turns more into a sad story about a good man and a good teacher who got killed by the collusion of religious leaders and a corrupt government. But this is so much more than that. So who is this Christ? Who is this Jesus who died for the ungodly? Who is that? Well, first we know that he is fully God. Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, co-equal and co-eternal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He did not begin in Bethlehem. He has always existed. He always was, always is, and always will be. John tells us that all things were created through him and for him. He is not a created being. He is the begotten Son of God. He is not merely a great teacher who was later elevated to divine status. He is God fully, eternally, and truly. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The writer of Hebrews tells us that the radiance of the glory of God, he is the radiance of the glory of God, and the exact imprint of his nature. Paul tells us in him, in Colossians, in him, the fullness of deity dwells within him bodily. See, Jesus is fully God. He is the second person of the Godhead, but he is not only fully God. Jesus is also fully man. The eternal Son of God took on human flesh, entered into his own creation, and the Word became flesh. The Word that was God is God, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. He was born of a virgin, Matthew 1 tells us. He grew in wisdom and stature. He got tired. He got hungry. He wept at the grave of his friend. Hebrews once again tells us he was tempted in every way that we are, and yet without sin. See, Jesus Christ is both fully and truly God, and he is both fully and truly man. 100% God and 100% man. See, Jesus Christ is both one person, two natures. And our very salvation depends on this. Why do both truths matter? Because a Savior who is not truly God cannot bear the infinite weight of divine wrath. And a Savior who is not truly man cannot stand in our place as our representative and substitute. He must be fully God, and he must be fully man for our salvation. That is who Christ is. Fully and truly God, fully and truly man. And yet, this God, who the God-man living in flesh, he lived a life that none of us have lived. None of us could live. Before Jesus went to the cross, he lived a life in perfect obedience. Every thought pure, every word true, every action righteous. He loved God the Father with his whole heart, his whole soul, his whole mind, his own strength, every single moment, every single day of his life, always doing the will of the Father. Jesus fulfilled every requirement of God's law that you and I have broken. And that perfect life that Jesus lives, no deceit, no sin, that perfect life that Jesus lives is not just accidental or inconsequential to our salvation. Romans 5:10, which we just read, said that we are reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, we are now reconciled and saved by his life. See, we need a righteousness outside of ourselves, because you and I have broken the law of God, and we stand condemned and damned and ruined. And so we need a righteousness that's not from within us, and it's the very righteousness that his perfect life provides that is credited to you by faith. His obedience counts towards you. His life is lived as if you lived it, and he dies a death that we deserve to die. So the cross removes what you owe, the sin debt, and his life grants you what you never could earn, a righteousness to stand before God. So see, the eternal Son of God, clothed in human flesh, lived the life you were supposed to live and did not. That is who this Christ is. Fully God, fully man, living a perfect life. And what did he do? That's the next question. Christ, that's the who. But what? What did he do? Well, the text tells us in verse 6, Christ died. That's what he did. He came to die. This is not a tragedy where a good plan went sideways. This was not, the cross was not plan B. The cross was planned and ordained by the sovereign will and counsel of God from eternity past. And he has set out to save his people. Matthew 1:21 tells us that you, the angel speaking to Joseph, said, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That is why Jesus came. That's a death announcement before his even first breath, because in Galatians 4:4 he says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law. Philippians 2 tells us that Jesus, although was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. See, Jesus came and was born and lived so that he may die to pay for the penalty of our sin. He stepped down from the throne of heaven, clothed himself in human weakness and frailty, and walked straight toward the cross. He said it plainly, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And how would he do it? To give his life as a ransom for many. See, Jesus died as a sacrifice. That is what he did, as a sacrifice and a substitute, so we would have life, life abundant, life eternal, that is offered to you. See, in Mark 15, as it records the account of the crucifixion, it says, Jesus uttered with a loud cry and breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw in the way he breathed his last, he said, truly this man was the Son of God. And so this is who Jesus is, fully God, fully man, living a perfect life. And what did he do? He died a death on a cross. But what did that death accomplish? Because everybody dies. But why does it matter that Jesus, fully God, fully man, living a perfect life, died on a cross? What did his death accomplish? See, the Bible is clear. God is holy, God is righteous, God is just, and sin cannot be in his presence. And every act of rebellion against God, every lie you've told, every act of lust, every moment of pride, every broken commandment carries a penalty. And the penalty, because God says that if you break one law, you break them all. And the penalty for law breaking, and breaking the commandments of God, it says, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Death, eternal judgment. And so here's the problem for every human that's ever lived, is that you've broken God's law. You've lied. You've stolen something regardless of its value. You've lusted. You've hated. You've shown your own pride. And so you've broken God's law, and then because you've broken God's law, you stand under divine judgment, divine wrath. And so your sin now, you owe a debt. You owe a sin debt that you cannot pay. The penalty is real. The penalty is just, and the penalty is yours to bear. You stand outside of Christ, condemned and ruined. We've broken God's law. We've rebelled against Him. What am I to do? Well, the good news is that God did something. And what he did is in his mercy did not leave us there, for he, for our sake, he made him, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. See, on the cross, God placed every sin of every person who would ever believe, he placed that penalty on them. He poured out his wrath upon Jesus. Every act of rebellion, every broken commandment, everything he laid on Jesus. He poured out on his son the full measure of his wrath against sin. Jesus didn't die just a physical death. He absorbed the divine punishment that was ours. He stood in the dock for me and said, I will take their place. He received the sentence that I deserve and paid it in full. This is what theologians call penal substitutionary atonement. Penal because it's a real punishment. Substitutionary because Jesus stood in our place. And atonement because it accomplished real forgiveness and real reconciliation with God. That is what Isaiah says. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And by his wounds we are healed. So he, Jesus, by dying on the cross, takes our penalty, takes the wrath of God, and satisfies the law and satisfies divine righteousness and justice for the penalty of sin, which is death. He died the death I was supposed to die. And so on the cross where Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's the sound of a man bearing what your sin deserved. He was forsaken so that you would never have to be. And when he says, it is finished, he's not saying, I am finished. He was declaring that the debt is paid, the penalty is satisfied, and the wrath is absorbed. It is finished. That is who died. That is why he died. The full weight of divine justice fell on Jesus Christ, and he bore it completely, perfectly, finally, and once for all. That is why we say, Jesus paid it all. He paid for all my sin, past, present, and future. He did not pay some. He paid it all for me, stood in my place, and took my punishment. So that is who this Jesus is. This is the Christ. He is fully God and fully man, who lived a perfect life. What did he do? He died a substitutionary death on the cross for sinners and took their penalty. But then now the question that bears upon us is, for whom did he die? Well, the text tells us. Christ died for the ungodly. That is who he died for. It doesn't say that Jesus died for good people. It doesn't say that Jesus died for religious people. He doesn't say that Jesus died for people who kind of had it all together and figured out. He says unequivocally, Jesus died for the ungodly. That ungodly, that word literally means irreverent. It means those who are without reverence for God. Those who live as if God does not matter. That is what that word ungodly means. And maybe that is you this evening. You're here for whatever reason, but you've lived your life as if God doesn't matter. And the Bible is clear. There is not one righteous, no, not one. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are not morally neutral creatures who occasionally make mistakes. We are sinners by nature and sinners by choice, and sinners in ways that we don't even understand. But we are rebellious against God. That is what ungodly means. See, the Bible is not to flatter. It is not very flattering of those that are outside of Christ. The Bible describes those that are apart from God and living an irreverent, ungodly life. They're described in Ephesians 2 as those that are dead in their trespasses. They're described as enemies of God, children of wrath. See, we just don't do bad things. We are, apart from God's grace, fundamentally oriented away from Him. And we deserve judgment. It's not unfair and it's not arbitrary. When God's wrath comes against sin, it is the perfectly just response of a perfectly holy God to real human rebellion. And that is what's ungodly. And that is all of us. But just in case you think, okay, I've lived an ungodly life, but maybe I can have some resolution and some resolve and determination. And maybe I can turn my life around and turn over a new leaf. What does the text actually say before this in verse 6? That Christ died for the ungodly. That's the end of verse 6. But before that, he says, for while we were still weak. So it's not that we are just wicked. We are weak, helpless, incapable of rescuing ourselves. So it isn't like, well, I've lived an irreverent life away from God, and you know, I'm just going to, by my own willpower, run back toward Him. Just know, while you were weak, while you were unable, while you're totally unable and helpless to do anything about your spiritual condition, Christ came anyway. See, it might be one thing to be wicked, but perhaps we think it's another to have the power to turn it around. But see, not only do we owe a debt we cannot pay, we lack the power to change our own condition. We are dead in our sins and trespasses. And there's nothing that a dead man can do. As one preacher says, dead men don't grab. They only stink. You cannot moralize yourself into righteousness. You cannot discipline yourself into right standing before God. You cannot be good enough. You cannot try hard enough. You cannot pray hard enough. You cannot attend enough to close the gap between what God requires and what you can produce. He says, you are ungodly. You are weak. And the penalty is death. And yet, this is why we call Good Friday good. For while we were still weak, not when we became strong, not when we figured out, while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God shows His love that while we were still, this is all in this passage, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For while, verse 10, while we were still enemies, opposed to God, we were reconciled and brought to peace with God through the death of his son. Not after you cleaned yourself up, not after you proved yourself worthy, not after you reached a certain level of spiritual attainment. While we were weak, while we were ungodly, while we were enemies, Christ died for us. And that is grace. That is mercy. See, the grace of God to save a sinner from his own, from the depths of their own sin. It's not making good people better. That is not Christianity. That is not grace. It is making dead people alive. That God sending his son to reconcile himself to enemies of the cross. That is what he is doing. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but are made alive in the spirit. That's love. That's grace. That's mercy. God coming to us in the work and person of his son when we couldn't and wouldn't go to him. Him loving us when we wouldn't love him. Saving us when we wouldn't save ourselves. While still ungodly sinners opposed to God, God in his great love came looking for me. What good news that God has done it all for you to be reconciled and made right with him. And here's the reality, is some of you've come because it is Easter weekend and we are glad that you were here. And maybe you're coming back for the first time into church and going to give it a try again for whatever reason. And you carry a weight of guilt that's followed you for years. You've done things that you're deeply ashamed of. You've lived that ungodly life that Christ died for. You've lived the life as if God doesn't matter to you. But Christ's death shows that you matter to God. And that he sent his son. And here's what he's telling us in Romans 5. If you are ungodly, if you are a sinner, that actually is what qualifies you to be saved by his grace. Jesus didn't come for people who had it all together. He came for the ungodly. He came for the weak. He came for people exactly like you and exactly like me. So no one is too far gone to be reached by the saving arms of our God. You think about what this text actually says. He died for the ungodly, not the almost ungodly, not the mildly irreligious. That if you're sitting here and you know you've lived a life far from God, you're precisely who Jesus came, lived for, died for, and rose again for. And the good news is that Jesus can save you from your sin. He can save you from a life of sin and give you a brand new life. You're not able, you're weak, you're not able to do that on your own, but you can flee to Jesus and he will do it for you. And the same grace that's ever reached a soul and saved them is the same grace that Christ holds out for you tonight. He says, come to me, weary and heavy laden, and I will not cast you out. Receive by faith what Christ has accomplished on the cross. Admit that you need him and trust in him, that you don't have to trust in your own goodness. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. That's the offer. Christ died for the ungodly. And if you want to know God, and spend eternity in heaven and have your sins forgiven and be reconciled to him, you come to him by faith, transferring all your trust away from yourself and transfer it onto Jesus Christ and believe upon him and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and that he is Lord. Confess him with your mouth that he is Lord and you will be saved. Believe, trust, look to Jesus and flee to him by faith and rest the full weight of your soul on what Christ did at the cross. He absorbed the penalty. He absorbed the wrath. He paid the penalty and he cried that it is finished. There's nothing left for you to add. The work is done. And the only question is if you will receive it by faith. And there's no reason you can say, well, you don't know what I've done, or I'm too far gone, or I'm too ungodly for God to love a sinner like me. Christ died for the ungodly. That means you can come, and you can know him, and you can be saved and enjoy God forever. Come by faith. Turn from your sin and believe upon Jesus Christ. who he is and what he has done for the ungodly. See, Christ, the eternal Son of God, fully God and fully man, lived the life you couldn't. He died, absorbing the wrath of God, paying the full penalty of sin, standing in the place of sinners, that you would never have to face judgment yourself. And he died for the ungodly, not for the deserving and not for the righteous, but for the weak, for the broken, for the rebellious, for us. And my brother and sister, for those of us that have already trusted in Christ, remember, it is all of grace you've been saved and not of your own doing. You didn't find God on your best day. He came to you when you had nothing to offer. He came to you when you were still living for yourself, still hell-bound, still following the course of this world. And the holy God of heaven looked at you and said, I'll save you. I'll love you. I'll send my son for you. While you were ungodly, he died for you anyway. So rejoice tonight that when you were ungodly, Christ died for you. And he will never stop being the God who came for you. My brothers and sisters, it's Friday. The Pharisees have forced themselves on Pilate. Pilate condemns an innocent man to death. Jesus, abused by the soldiers, pressed a crown of thorns into his skull. He carries his cross and he's nailed to it outside the city walls. He's mocked by the crowd and cursed by the criminals. He's denied by Peter. His disciples are dispersed and hiding in fear. Our Savior has suffered alone on the cross. He has cried, "It is finished." He has breathed his last breath and given up his spirit. Jesus has been crucified. Our sins have been atoned for, and our King has died in our place. It's Friday, and Christ has died for the ungodly. But Sunday and a resurrection is coming.
Thank you for listening to sermon audio from Grace Hill Church. Please feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without written permission.